of Hebrews 4:12. This should be very familiar. Hebrews chapter number 4 and verse number 12. The scripture says the word of God is quick, that's alive, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. It just gave you the essence of a human being. You just read it right there. Soul, spirit, joints, and marrow. And it is discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. Notice how his is connected with the word of God. You see this? In the very context of it, the word of God is searching, piercing to the soul and spirit and his sight. You see that? But all things are naked and open to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Father, bless this holy word. In thy name I pray. Amen. So can Satan read? Of course he can. Fact is, he can read, and I'm sure it's certain, in every language there is. I'm limited to English and some Greek and Hebrew, but he can read anything. Makes no difference. Now, if you remember, I told you, as we talked from 1 John, to lay the foundation just a little to where we are tonight, that in 1 John chapter number 1, we're dealing with a spiritual issue, the heart and the mind, before it ever becomes a deed in chapter number 2. And so it's on a much higher level than what happens physically on this earth. And we know that all sin originates in the heart, don't we? And so it's there that God deals with the individual. And if he can get the issue settled there before it's ever committed, it's washed in the blood, cleansed. You're walking in the blood, walking in fellowship. And that's a good thing. But if it does come to the point where the deed is committed, then Satan shows up. He shows up in chapter number 2. If any man sin, we have a what? Advocate with the Father. Why do we need an advocate? Because we have an adversary. We have an accuser of the brethren. We see him in the book of Zechariah when he stands by Joshua, the high priest, to resist him. And so that lays the foundation for what I'm going to say. And that is that as we move along, we're going to find out that Satan is not all-knowing. He doesn't know everything. God's the only one that is omniscient. That's just a big word you get in Theology 101. Which simply means that God knows everything, okay? He knows it all. He knows everything there is to know. He's never learned anything. Only when he became a man did he experience what it was to suffer and feel the pain and the sorrow that the man felt. Now, what we have in the book of Revelation are stars in the hands of the one who shows up, Christ, as he's glorified. And these stars and churches are represented there, the seven churches of Asia Minor. And what we find is that a church, an individual church, can lose its place. And as you witness in Knoxville, Tennessee, for example, there are churches that have been closed down, right? And at one time, a few decades ago, they were definitely on fire for God. And these were places where the Lord's Spirit was present, right? But does that mean that the Church of God is dead? No, see, we're going to have to get into that tonight. This is the issue. Just because a local assembly becomes apostate, and it can, and close its doors, it does not mean that his church has closed its doors. Now, we've got folks out there, they call Baptist Briders, and there are a lot of good people in it. I don't question that, and I've known some personally. And they believe that only the Baptist church is the body of Christ on this earth, and only a church of like faith and manner, and so forth and so on. And I don't know if they have a catechism that you have to sign up with. I don't know if they've gone that far. But to them, that's the body of Christ, a local, visible assembly of believers. All right? That's what they believe. They believe that is the only body of Christ on this earth. They do not believe in the sense of a spiritual body of Christ, as we'll get into in a few minutes. They believe that it's a physical, local thing. Now, the Bible says in the book of Matthew, chapter number 11 and verse number 12, "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force." You're watching that progress before your eyes in Israel. The kingdom of heaven is being taken. The kingdom of heaven, as you understand, is in Matthew, it is the Davidic kingdom with David and those that follow. And the kingdom of heaven today is a visible, physical kingdom on this earth. And Satan in Luke 4 had the power to offer to the Lord Jesus Christ the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. He showed them. He said, this has been given to me, and I can give it to whomsoever I will. So man abrogated his power and authority over it by sin. And so Satan takes it because he's the god of this world. And you're living in it now. War will never bring peace. It'll never do it. Only when the Prince of Peace comes will peace come. Now, I want peace. I'm not a warmonger, believe me. I take no joy whatsoever in people bragging about making bombs and dropping them on blowing up little children. Got no use for that garbage. I don't want any part of it. I want no part of it. But the bottom line is that you live in a violent world, and the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. So God has to give you wisdom to know how to deal with it. Then in Luke chapter 16, verse 16, the law and the prophets were until John. And since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. Now we're going to get a little definition of the kingdom of God. Kingdom of heaven's a physical kingdom. Kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. It's a spiritual thing, the kingdom of God. You need to read this one with me. Look at John chapter number 3 and verse number 3. When the Lord talked to Nicodemus, who came to him at night, he said something. It's very important. John 3:3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot what? Now read that, okay? See the kingdom of God. You see this? In plain words, your spirit must come alive to be able to see the spirit, to be able to see the spirit, the spiritual kingdom of God. That's important. Now there's one of the most controversial passages in the New Testament where the Lord says, the kingdom of God is within you. Do you remember reading that? All right, you'll get a half a dozen different interpretations. Most of them try to say the word within simply means in your midst. Well, that's a kind of an easy way to put it off without getting into it very deeply. But think about this for a moment. John chapter number 1, the Lord said through the apostle, he's the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He who? Christ. In plain words, there is a light that comes from God that lights every man that comes into the world. Well, therefore, would that be a spiritual thing? Would that be part of the kingdom of God? Think about it. I'm not saying the man's born again. He said he lights every man that cometh into the world. Of course it is. Of course it is. And this, of course, too, goes back to being born and made in the image of God. You have connection with spiritual things that nothing else does. Now, I'm going to move along from that, but I put that in there for you to think about it tonight. John 3:3. You cannot see the kingdom of God unless you've been born again. Now, what does it mean to be born again? You've been saved. Now, we believe in the new birth. I firmly believe in it because I know what happened to me in 1973. There's no way in the world I could have changed from what I was into who I am tonight except by the power of God and the new birth. Everything changed in my life, and I had a desire for spiritual things, and I had a love for God that I didn't have before. And it's been with me ever since. And the truth of the matter is, I love our Lord Jesus Christ more tonight than I ever have. I love him. And this business then, therefore, that I can be able to see. So what do you do? Well, the apostle says, look not on the outward appearance. We don't look on the outward appearance. That which is seen is temporal, but that which is not seen is eternal. We deal in spiritual issues tonight. And it's important to understand this part, that the new birth is associated with being able to see the kingdom of God. Now in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, look what it says. Matthew 16, 18. And he said, I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Or if God asked you to go out tonight and find his church, where would you start looking? Well, right here, preacher. Is his church more than a building and people? You better believe it's far more. You better believe it is. Fact of the matter is, there are buildings with people in them in this town who deny the deity of Christ. Yes, they do. They deny the new birth. They deny the blood atonement. They deny the cardinal doctrines of the faith. Is that the church? Of course not. So what are we doing then? In Matthew 16, he said, I say thou art Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Well, if the Bible says in John 3:3, that if you're not born again, you can't even see the kingdom of God. But in John chapter number 3, that if you're born again, you enter into the kingdom of God, because you're born into the kingdom of God. You follow the logic tonight. See what I'm saying? Of course. You're in Christ, which becomes the key to where we're headed. Now I want you to look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 2 and verse number 8. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 8. The scripture says, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not what? They would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now how do you deal with that? Can you understand the ignorance on the part of a human being? Certainly you can. But what about Satan? Think about it. Do you suppose any of those men who had to do with the crucifixion of Christ were demon possessed? Well, of course they were. You know what those demons said? We know who thou art. You're the Holy One of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? They knew who he was. How'd they know? They were there when creation came into being. And where the demons originated, there's a lot of controversy in that. But these are spirit beings in a spirit world, understanding spiritual things. And they said, none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. The Bible said in Matthew chapter number 4 and verse number 3, when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Now, was this mockery? Or was he inquiring for his own knowledge? Was he putting him to the test? Was he trying him? What all's going on? Satan quoted Psalm 91. Does Satan read the Bible? Of course he does. Does the Bible speak to him? I'm sure he gets very uncomfortable. I'm sure he does. I'm sure he does. He quoted Psalm 91, folks. He quoted the scripture. Satan did. Did you know he probably quoted more scripture to the Lord than some of these churches have ever quoted? That's the truth, man. You wouldn't believe some stuff that's out there that calls itself the church of God. So the tempter came and said, if thou be the Son of God, trying him, testing him, all of his life watching him. Satan is according to the scripture, this is what I personally believe, he's the anointed cherub that covereth. I believe he was one of the five. Five cherubs mentioned in the Bible. One fell, leaves four. Four of them show up in the book of Revelation. Cherubs show up in the Holy of Holies. They stand over the mercy seat. They are at the highest position that a creature could be. And when Satan, the Bible says he literally in Ezekiel 28, he was in the highest mountain of God and he led the choir of God. Satan was the anointed cherub that covereth. The word covereth is used there, referring to Satan. Now the word Satan is a generic word. So what do you mean by that? It can be used in the Old Testament in different senses that don't necessarily refer to the person of Satan. The word Satan is a Hebrew word which means adversary. If you remember when Solomon died, his son Rehoboam, you remember Rehoboam? All right. Well, the Bible says that God raised an adversary up against Rehoboam. Well, the word adversary, look at it in Hebrew, it's Satan or Satan. He raised up a Satan, see? So in plainer words, a Satan is an adversary. Now in the book of Isaiah, he's given a name. What's he called? Lucifer. which is a Latin word, and it means light bearer. Okay? So here we go. He's starting to take on the identity of Christ. He wants to look like Christ, talk like Christ, act like Christ, and be accepted as Christ. He's a false Christ. He's a pseudo-Christos. That's what he is. If another Jesus, the Apostle Paul said, is preached unto you, you might bear well with him. There's another Jesus, another Spirit, another Christ. And he's not the real one. The Lord Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. He's God Almighty, folks, not a God, not an emanation from God. He is God. He is very God, a very God, and yet he has now manifested or become flesh. He's the God-man. Now, here's why I say that. Look at Matthew chapter number 11 and verse number 27. Matthew 11:27. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. The truth of the matter is, what I quote to you is what I understand from Scripture, and it's as right down the line as it can be. It's as orthodox as it can possibly be. But there's only one who knows the full, complete, absolute essence of the Son. And you know who that is? It's the Father. And there's only one who knows the full, complete essence of the Father, and that's the Son. See what he just said? He said, no man. Now watch what he says with it. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. No man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man of the Father save the Son. Now watch this. And he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Now, we know God exists by his creation. All right. That's called the teleological argument to the existence of God. What's that mean? Just a big word which means simply, here is a creation, there had to be a creator. This didn't just show up from nothing. Okay? That's what it means. Okay? And I hope there's nobody in the house tonight that has any problem with that. This just came into being of its own, and you got people over here with PhDs that believe that. Just came from nothing, just showed up one day. It came from God, folks. Let there be. In the beginning, God created. The word create is the Hebrew verb bara, and it means to bring into existence from nothing. He spoke it into existence. Word of God is quick and powerful. The word goes forth from his mouth. The word is full of power and creation. The word creates, and it created, brought into existence. So therefore, we know there's a God, all right? There believest that there's a God, thou doest well. The devils believe and tremble. Now, let's take it a step higher, and that's this. You cannot know him but by revelation. See? Okay. And this is where we are tonight. This is where we live. This is what we're about. I know him because it has been revealed to me who he is. All right, so what do we do here? How does this deal with Satan? Think now. Think. See? We've got Satan. He sees the flesh, he sees the physical being, but does he really know? You know, he may guess, he may have an intuitive idea of what he's looking at, but does he really know? The only way you can really know who Christ is by the revelation of the Father. That's right. So do I know who he is tonight? You better believe I know who he is. Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Some Moses, some Elijah, some Jeremiah, one of the prophets. But who do you say that I am? Now here we go. Christ is saying, now you're my disciples. Let's see how much you've listened to the Father. Simon Peter, Simon Bar-Jonah. What did he say? And what did he say back to him? Flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, but my Father which is in heaven. Reveal to you. Tonight, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you've heard the voice of God the Father. Amen, folks. Now, let's go a little further with it. In Luke chapter 10, verse 22, Luke says the same thing in just a little different way. All things are delivered to me of my Father. No man knoweth who the Son is, but the Father, and who the Father is, but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. All right, that's wonderful, isn't it? All right, now we put all that together. Go to Colossians chapter number 3, verse 3, and see if this makes sense. Colossians 3, 3. Folks, the book of Colossians is one of the most powerful books in the whole Bible. It is loaded. It is the book of Colossians, chapter number 3 and verse 3. Now, the apostle says this, you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Did you see that? Now, wait a minute. What does that mean, preacher? Well, the Bible said if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, right? All right. Is not Christ, is it not in being Christ is to be in the body of Christ? Isn't it about the body of Christ? Remember? All right. Well, where is the body of Christ located according to Colossians 3? Where is it? It's in God the Father. That's where it is. And it's hidden. My life is hid with Christ in God. In plainer words, the body of Christ, which is the church of the living God. Those born of the Spirit of God. Every one of us. Whatever culture, whatever time, wherever, whatever you may call yourself. I have no problem fellowshipping with another brother or sister in Christ. If they may not be a Baptist, but if they know our Lord Jesus Christ and love our Lord Jesus Christ, got no problem with that. I am certainly no Baptist brider. I can fellowship with a Baptist brider. Amen. But what did I just tell you? I just told you that the church of the living God, which is the body of Christ, according to what this apostle says, is hidden in God. Now tell me, how much of that can Satan see? Think about that for a moment. Why would he hide it in God? It is completely hidden from the eyes of Satan. No, he sees you sitting here tonight. Here you are physically. Here you are. You know, you're in this house. And I'm just a man. And what God has given me is the fellowship of the Spirit and the love of Christ. These are the two things that I judge by. I even judge myself by them. That if you are truly born of the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost resides in you. And there should be a camaraderie here. There should be a relationship based on the Holy Spirit of God, right? I don't have to tell you the Holy Ghost is in me. You can get around some people and you know they got a ghost in them, but it's not the Holy One. Amen. Yes, sir, buddy, make no mistake about it. There's a spirit in there, but it's not the Holy One. And you can get around them and just kind of be around them long enough and find out who they talk about all the time. What their mind is really fixed upon. Who really is the love of their life? If you love our Lord Jesus Christ, it's going to come out of you. And I hope you do. I love him. I bless his righteous name. If I never draw another breath of life, I'll leave this world saying, bless thy righteous holy name, my Lord Jesus Christ. You're everything in the world to me. You saved me and pulled me up out of hell. And you wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I love you. I'll love you. And I'll love you forever. Amen. I love him. Amen. I don't have much time for religious people who go around with their self-righteousness and promote themselves all the time. And all they can talk about is me, myself, and I, and what I've accomplished, my church, and my ministers. No. Tell me about Jesus Christ. Tell me about the Lamb of God. Do you love him? Do you have the Holy Ghost in you tonight? If you do, your life is hidden in Christ, which is in God, which means that the body of Christ is hidden. Now, keep reading Colossians 3, and look what happens here in verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, did you see that? Then shall ye also appear with him, where? In glory. Amen. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, John said. But we know when he appears, or when he comes, and we see him, we shall see him as he is. If we have borne the image of the earthy, we will bear the image of the heavenly. What is man thou art mindful of him, son of man that thou... What's it talking about? He He's talking about the fact that we were made a little lower than the angels. We are a type of Christ in the sense that we are human, have been changed into the image. And he, my dear friends, is that very image of God. What a thing to think that the Creator that made it all, made every bit of it, and brought a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And I was thinking about this the other day. I thought, God doesn't have to breathe. How many have ever thought about that? He didn't need to breathe. Breathe what? Where'd the air come from? You see, he created that air to breathe into you. That air is for you. And as I've said to you before, yes, man is associated. He's connected with air all through the Bible. Air. Expire. Do you know what that means? Yeah, it means breath goes out. Inspire. That means bring breath in. I remember my grandfather, 1969. I was sitting in the room over there. A nurse looked over at us and said, he has expired. I lost that day one that I've loved so dearly. But I'll never forget that. And I think that's the only time I ever heard that term from a medical professional. And I knew exactly what she said and what it meant. He has expired. That's called a euphemism. A euphemism is to say the same thing, to use a word that doesn't have the biting power, the force. I mean, she could have said he's dead. She didn't say that. She said he's expired, which of course means, well, he's left that body. He's not in it anymore. Amen. Sad thing is that in 1969, when that happened, and I walked out, I was at UT Hospital. My grandfather passed. We walked out. 1969, I didn't know the Lord. Didn't know him. I met him in 1973. Bless his name. Father, bless your word. Thank you for the time. Maybe I've said something tonight, kind of bless us, kind of help us, kind of give us another way of looking at something, another perspective, by giving that perspective, it may open the door for us to see things now and things that you can add to that and show us and teach us and lead us. And Father, I'm excited about anything where you show me from the Bible. Your word's alive. And I thank you, Father, in Jesus' righteous name. Bless his righteous, righteous, righteous name. Amen. All right. Amen. Amen.